If Dr. Woody Myers gets elected governor and Linda Lawson, his running mate, is elected lieutenant governor, you might see some changes in the way that school is administered and conducted and the way that school is funded here in Indiana. He has released his plan for Indiana K through 12 education. And Dr. Myers is talking today about that plan. Dr. Myers, you say that the Republican administration, the Holcomb administration, more specifically, has ignored the needs of K through 12 education and is actively working against it. Can you explain how?
Yes, I can. Thank you for the opportunity. If you remember back in the fall, 15 to 20,000 educators, instead of spending time in the classroom that day, felt it was so important that Indiana changed the way it's going about K through 12 education, that they came to the State House and dressed in red to speak with our governor about the issues, the concerns, the lack of funding, the needs of the schools. And this was pre-COVID. You know that we have some serious issues in our state. Linda and I released a plan today that talks about governance, how we should change the intensity and the quality of the governance of our educational programs in the state. That's by putting members on the State Board of Education who, first of all, have great experience in education, and secondly, know that we have to put more fiscal oversight in place such that we do not have the kind of debacles that have occurred under the Holcomb administration, such as Indiana Virtual Schools, where about $70 million just vanished into thin air. There's a criminal investigation underway. We can't have that. These dollars are way too important. So governance is a big issue. There are a number of other funding issues as well, especially now for technology. If we're going to need to be able to educate our children outside of the classroom and utilizing hardware and software that in some school districts don't exist today, we've got to get that resource in place. We've got to put that training in place for those teachers. Otherwise, those kids are going to go without it. That's just wrong. So those are just two of the many elements that we talk about in our plan that was released today.
You talk in the plan, or at least in the press release, about the plan, about putting an element in place to lock in a budget with schools and not allow that budget to be changed. How would that work?
Well, we would have to collaborate with our colleagues in the legislature with respect to the specifics, and we would have to look at the funding formula that exists today and to see how we might alter that. So some of it, the specific answer will depend upon how successful we are in getting new legislators in this election that are willing to work in that direction. Certainly the folks that are there now have not shown much interest in solving these problems. That's why Linda and I put the plan out. But very specifically, we want to protect K-12 education. It's going to be a very challenging budget year. There are going to have to be decisions made, priorities made, and what we're declaring today is that K-12 education will be one of our key priorities.
I want to talk a moment about the minority issue and the education of teachers for implicit bias training. You're talking about this becoming a priority, yet I think some people would say when you're talking about the protection of minority education and then stopping or putting pause on new charter schools, that may be kind of oxymoronic. How does that work? Because some people, I think, see charter schools as a way to help people who might, be in a situation where they're not getting the best education that they could get and are able to get into a charter school. How does this help?
Well, first of all, let me say it's a pause, not a stop. What we want is the equal accountability of the charters. We want to make sure that the authorities that are able to empower charters are paying the right kind of attention to their fiscal situation. We want an oversight group of the charters that's active. I have met personally with many outstanding leaders in charter schools. They want to continue their operation, and we want them to. Of course, there are many outstanding public schools as well, but not all are outstanding, and we've got to push more towards all being outstanding. So we're going to create a level playing field for the charters and for the with respect to public education. And if we're going to invest public dollars in these entities, then there's going to have to be the right kind of accountability.
Yeah, I think some people might argue that charter schools are public schools, and that the purpose of charter schools is to, you know, even though they in your view, should have the same level of accountability, they're there for the purpose of helping elevate students who might not be able to achieve at another school.
Well, there are some assumptions in your question that I don't really accept. I think that you can have great teachers and accountability in public schools, traditional public schools, and then you're right, charter schools are public schools, but they are operated differently than the traditional public schools. I just want equal accountability across the board so that we have excellence across the board. And yes, I want the kids to do well, and if teachers are asked to follow the right kinds of protocols that the board approves and that the charters put in place, as well as the traditional public school leadership, I'm going to be a very happy governor. But that's not what's going on today, and we've got to change that. I want all of the schools to be very, very successful.
You stress accountability a lot in this plan, and you talk about testing. What's wrong with testing as it is right now?
Well, we said that the ISTEP test years ago was the right way to go to be able to judge school districts. And, of course, everybody knows that that failed. Many millions of dollars were invested in that, and it was found that you couldn't use that information for the purposes that it was intended. And then the decision was made to create a new program called iLearn Testing. Of course, a lot of the details as that program was implemented weren't adequately managed, especially issues about computerized testing in schools where that was not easy to do. And the results were thrown out by the legislature this past session because they weren't useful either. So the many millions of dollars that have gone into testing programs as they have been implemented thus far have been a problem, and we've got to change that. And so, yes, we need to have accountability with respect to one school district versus another. We need the superintendents to be able to evaluate how well they are doing. And we, Myers-Lawson administration, are going to want that. But we've got to figure it out in a different way than what's been done thus far. And I want our teachers teaching the material that they know the kids need to have in their minds. I want them stimulating creativity, the creativity of their students. I want them to have a joy for learning. I want our teachers to have the joy of teaching and teaching to the test. I'm told by all the teachers that I've spoken with and the principals as well, it isn't the right approach.
One more question, and that is, teachers want raises, and that was part of the whole purpose. You talked at the very beginning about the Red for Ed Education Day at the state capitol. How do you propose giving teachers a raise with the budget constraints that are coming because of coronavirus?
It's going to be challenging, isn't it? We're going to have to look at that budget very carefully. We're going to have to look at every dollar that's being allocated today and decide, is that something we need to spend right now, or is that something we can wait on? And if we can wait, we will. And we're going to make sure that K-12 education, as I said earlier, is protected. We're going to do absolutely everything we can to fulfill the promise that was made by previous administrations but was not kept, to give the teachers the raises that they needed, they deserved. That's been done in a very minimal way in the last few years. We've got to change that because we are losing our teachers. Teachers are moving to Ohio, Kentucky, Illinois, and Michigan. Teachers are leaving the profession. There are almost 1,000 vacancies that we know about today. So clearly those are red warning lights that are flashing in the state of Indiana, telling us that what we've got going on today is not working. We've got to do something better. We've got to do something different.
In a nutshell, the biggest difference between a future Woody Myers administration and the current Eric Holcomb administration?
Collaboration, accountability, a willingness to roll up the sleeve and actually solve the problems instead of just simply talking about them.
All right, Dr. Myers, thank you so much for taking the time.
Appreciate it.